Over the past 10 years, average college tuition in Georgia has skyrocketed 77%, and college loans have grown at a similar pace. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution is investigating the consequences of all that. Collaborating with the Hechinger Report, the AJC begins a series this Sunday. With me now is Meredith Kolodner. She's a staff writer for the Hechinger Report and a co-author on this investigation. Hi there.
Hi, Celeste.
So you guys are looking at both college tuition and college loans. It seems like a no-brainer that those two would be connected, but are they? As college tuition goes up, does that mean that college loans will also rise?
For most families, yeah, it does mean that. Unless income is rising at a high rate, there's no other way to deal with the rising tuition than to take out loans.
Let's talk then about what happens when a student takes out a loan. Here's a Dale Stevens who founded UnCollege that actually encourages young adults to seek real-world experiences instead of college.
I think it's much riskier to go to college and take on $20,000 in debt per year and then have miserable job prospects when you get out and have to start repaying that debt. That seems like a really high risk to me.
And one of the things that you have talked about in your reporting is the fact that oftentimes the risk is that many of these people don't even finish college and then they're stuck with no degree and a loan. How does that work?
Right. So we know that student debt is an issue, and we know a lot of people have dropped out of college. But there are also a number of people who are in both of that position. That is, that they took out loans to go to college and then found that they couldn't continue. And so they had to drop out. And in Georgia, over a two-year period, there were 108,000 people in the public university and colleges who found themselves in that position.
So why is this happening? First of all, college tuition is supposed to be controlled to a certain extent, or at least it has oversight from the state government. Why is tuition rising so quickly?
Well, it depends who you speak to about that. Some people would say that universities and colleges are not keeping costs down. Right now, in-state tuition with room and board is close to $15,000 a year for one of the four-year universities. But what's important, I think, to consider when we're looking at tuition and blaming the rise of tuition is the disinvestment in Georgia. That is, that in 2001, the state provided about $15,000 per student to the colleges, and now they only provide $8,000 per student. And so, to some extent, the money has to come from somewhere. But I think what's important is, regardless who you blame, whether it's rising tuition or the state's lower payments to the colleges, the result is that it falls on families. And in particular, it falls on lower and moderate income families.
And yet we had an announcement from the leaders in government that they wanted to increase the number of college grads, correct?
That's true. That's what's so interesting in Georgia, is that there does seem to be a real commitment, at least verbally, to educating Georgia residents. There's an excellent university system. There's the Hope Scholarship. And there's a goal of having 60% of Georgia residents with some sort of degree in less than 10 years now. And in addition, the state does need teachers, nurses, accountants. There are jobs there for people with a bachelor's degree.
Okay, you mentioned the Hope Scholarship, and I want to talk about how Hope might be related to all of this. But first, let's hear a comment from Natasha Miles. She was a student at Kennesaw State University in 2011. She lost her Hope Scholarship, and here's her comment on that.
After I lost Hope, I had to figure out how to fit work into my schedule, and that basically meant I was late to classes because I was always coming from work. I ended up having to move out of the dorm and back home because my parents said, before I even went to college, hey, if you lose Hope, we're not paying for anything.
Is Hope helping to allay as much of it the college costs that it was intended to, or how is Hope either helping or hurting?
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, for a student like the student who just spoke, somebody said to me once, you know, students who lose Hope with a big H often lose Hope with a little H. That is, that only half the students who start with Hope actually graduate with it. A lot of students do lose the scholarship, and it puts them in a really tough position. But, you know, in addition to that, Hope has obviously helped lots and, you know, millions of students get through college. So it certainly has been a help to people. But in 2011, the budget crisis meant that they had to cut what HOPE actually covers. So even for the students who do keep up their grades, they only actually have 65% of their tuition and fees covered if you're a full-time student. So it covers a lot less than what it used to when it was first created.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Meredith Kolodner. She's a staff writer for the Hechinger Report, and we're talking about the rising cost of both tuition and the rising debt burden on students. Now, as of 2015, Georgia had the highest average student loan debt in the country. Our students were carrying a higher burden of debt, more, somewhere north of $30,000 each. Do most students who struggle to pay tuition each and every semester, do most of them graduate?
Well, that's the thing, is that one of the things that we found in Georgia was that more students who are carrying federal debt withdraw than graduate. So it does seem like the students who have those loans are having a very tough time getting through college. I mean, I spoke to one woman, a woman named Raven, who she was sort of that person who you would think did everything right. She had gotten into the Savannah College of Art and Design, but decided not to go because it was just too expensive. She enrolled at Columbus State University. She had a HOPE scholarship. She got a Pell Grant because she has a low-income family. She took out loans, and she worked 20 hours a week at the Peachtree Mall. So, and, you know, she actually kept HOPE. She kept her grades up. And after 2 years, she dropped out to go back and try to work full time for another year so she could save up. Right now, she's out of school. She doesn't have a degree. And she has $15,000 in loans. And she's struggling to make those payments because, again, without that degree, it's very hard to get the job that you can that pays you enough in order to make your loan payments.
And
she's hoping to go back, but it's very tough.
And also, we should remind everyone that student loans happen to be a particular kind of debt that cannot be discharged in bankruptcy. They're basically with you for the rest of your life. So, and you spoke with another one, I understand, another student in your reporting who wants to go back to school, but because he's having trouble paying his loans, that means he can't even enroll in college. Why?
Right, that's D'Angelo. it's a frustrating situation for him. He enrolled in Georgia State. He had loans and a Pell Grant and a job. And by his own admission, he said he was working too many hours outside of school. But it's because he had to pay for his college, and he didn't have any family financial support. And after three semesters, he had $12,000 worth of loans, couldn't keep his grades out, and he left. After that, he was just trying to get – he ended up getting just temp jobs at warehouses, paying $9 an hour, he couldn't make any of his payments. And because of that, the loans went into a collection agency. So for him to go back to Georgia State, he needs to pay off the bulk of those loans. He's in default, basically.
Right.
So he needs to pay off the bulk before he can re-enroll at Georgia State.
So let's hear one more comment. This is former President Barack Obama speaking at Georgia Tech in 2015.
But even here at Georgia Tech, even with the great value it is, it's expensive. And I'm here to tell you, I'm with you. I believe that America's not a place where higher education is a privilege that is reserved for the few. America needs to be a place where higher education has to be available for every single person who's willing to strive for it, who's willing to work for it.
To what extent does this end up being a question of access? In other words, that college simply doesn't become affordable for someone who is middle to low income?
Yeah, I think it's very tough to go in, like the student was saying before, about going in and knowing you're going to end up with $30,000 worth of loans and hoping you're going to get that job that can help you to pay it off in addition to your rent and everything else. I mean, two things that are specific about Georgia that we found is people probably know there is no need-based statewide financial aid program, and Georgia is one of two states, the other being New Hampshire, where that is the situation. The other thing that I found interesting, and maybe folks already know this, but Georgia colleges and universities are prevented from, by law, they're prevented from using any tuition or state dollars on financial aid. It's considered an individual gift. And so if an individual college or university wants to help their students by giving them some financial aid, if they do see them struggling, they have to rely on private donations or their endowment. And some colleges and universities are really able to do that quite well. But the colleges and the universities that have the least wealthy alumni and have the lowest endowments also have the highest number of low-income students. So there's a mismatch in terms of need and available funds in some cases.
That is Meredith Kolodner. She's staff writer for the Hechinger Report. The Hechinger Report is collaborating with the AJC to investigate the effect of rising college tuition and college debt in Georgia. The first piece in this series will be published this Sunday. Meredith, thank you so much.
Thank you.